Okay. I want to show you. It's not his outside, but Reb Shlomo Zalman. So a couple of very, very nice stories. But Reb Shlomo Zalman, one of them that particularly touched me was the story of when he applied for the job in Kol Torah. So you've got to realize that Reb Shlomo Zalman came from a very Yerushalmi family. His father was Chaim Yehuda Oibach, was also into a very numerous generations the Yerushalmis. His mother was a Polish, the Yerushalmi family. They were from many generations and never stepped foot out of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim. In fact, Shlomo Zalman never left Eretz Yisrael throughout his whole life, despite the fact that it was many times he was asked to, but he never stepped foot outside Eretz Yisrael. So what happened was that when he was in Eretz Chaim, typical classic Yerushalmi chinuch, and then eventually after his chasna, a few years in Kol, he was thinking of getting a job. And there was a job opportunity open, which was Magid Shir in the prominent Kol Torah Yeshiva. Now, Kol Torah Yeshiva was not a Yerushalmi kind of yeshiva at all. On the contrary, it was actually in those days, it was Yekish, very Yekish. It was Kunstadt, Merzbach. Those yeshivas were very, very Yekish. This tribe doesn't really exist much anymore. But in Eretz Yisrael in those days, It wasn't Yerushalmi at all. It wasn't old stand Yerushalmi traditions at all.
How could they count a lot of the boys from Yekish families going to Kol Torah?
To this day, it was very much like that a while ago.
Examples, some very Yekish sort of.
Yeah. Maybe I don't think nowadays it's so much anymore, but it certainly was for many years. It was the Yekish. But he was saying it wasn't Yerushalmi, but he wanted the job. He applied for the job as a Magid Shir. And he prepared and everything, he had a whole shir ready, and he gave a shir, and lo and behold, as he was giving the shir, the first 10 minutes he was a bit stiff, he was a bit nervous, he was invited for a trial lesson, for a trial shir. Has he been like a trial lesson? Absolutely. Reb Shlomo Zalman, what?
Who are we talking about?
Reb Shlomo Zalman Oibach. And he gave a he was invited to give a trial shir, trial lesson. And the first 10 minutes was a bit stiff. Well, 20 minutes was much better, half an hour. Towards the end of the shiur, somebody raised his hand. One of the bochim in wants to ask a question. He raised hands, asked a question, and he said, "Yeah, sure, Shlomo Zalman." And remember that in the back you've got all the trustees and the governors and the Rosh Hashiva himself. Everybody's sitting in the back watching and listening to the shiur. And the shiur goes fine until that point when the bochim asks a question. Shlomo Zalman listens to the question and he says, thinks about it for a second, and I don't know, it's a really good question. And the Shlomo Zalman knew that he had now blown it, right? If he's a 14-year-old bocher that can, as we say in Yiddish, schlag op to shir, it's a 14-year-old bocher that can like question the whole shir, then he knows that he's lost, the job is gone now, you know. And he was open, he said, I don't know the answer, it's a really good, I don't know. And he was a bit disheartened, but he said, it's all beshed, you know, it was his genius boch who asked the question, whatever, I don't think he can do about it. And he walked home and he told his wife, you know, it was a good experience. And, you know, as they say, it's one job closer. You must know these nuschos very well, the things that you tell you. It's one job closer to my real one. Or what's the nusach that you say when you want to give them chizik? I don't know. He didn't expect a phone call a few hours later, and that's exactly what happened. He got a few hours later, he got a phone call. This is, I don't know if it was a governor, a trustee, or Shiva himself, who called him up. So I know it's not going to happen, whatever. And I totally understand if a bocha asked me a question. He said, no, on the contrary, we are calling you to invite you to have a job in yeshiva. And he says, what? Why would I get a job in yeshiva? Bochin can ask me questions which I can't even answer. Then, you know, obviously I thought you're going to... say no, on the contrary, we felt that yeshiva was a beautiful yeshiva. It was nicely built up, very clear. Everything was coherent, was cohesive. Everything made a lot of sense. Plus, that was all great. But what made your application better than all the other applicants was because we've got evidence, you've got... Anova, yeah, but it said something slightly different. I also noticed Anova more than it, but they said something else. Midas Emes. You've got Midas Emes. you've got to be the emes. You knew they were all watching you, and you knew they were, and you just said you don't know. So the minister emes is something that when it comes to chinuch of bochim, the greatest midah that we're looking for is from the emes, and you've passed your flying colors. You know, it can happen. You don't know the answer, so nothing happened. Nobody knows everything. Yeah, but Kiriga many times leaves a tzarchian, and it's okay not to know something. But the minister emes, that was what's really striking, and he got the job, and the rest is history. He was there for many years, and eventually became Rosh Hashiva. And
who was Rosh Hashiva?
I don't know if it was Björn Merzbach or Borch Kunstadt. I'm not sure. And he was given the job. Now, what's a particular what's an additional knatch in the story is that years later he's dead. What Reb Shlomo Zalman said later was that he had three on the spot. He had three potential answers to the question. He had three potential answers to the question, but he felt that all the three answers are not really, really correct. He felt they're not mamash the emes answer. So he said, "I'd rather say I don't know rather than say an answer which is not 100% emes." He had three answers on the spot, but he didn't feel they were 100% right, and therefore he wasn't. I think it's a beautiful story, Reb Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, Reb Shlomo Zalman. And the one that he was eager to be the posting under him. Yeah. Okay. Now the plan this week, Bezer Hashem, we're planning to. I hope to finish Hilchos Yom HaKippurim this week, which is possible. And then we've got to really decide what we're going to do. I looked at in terms of what happens after Hilchos Yom Kippur. So, and really, Hilchos Sukkah comes. I checked up. It's just under 100 pages. How long is 100 pages? If we do 5 pages a week, so it's quite enough. So the question is, are we proceeding with Hilchos Sukkah, Hilchos Yeshiva Sukkah, Hilchos Dalet Minim, etc., etc., like the curriculum demands, as we really, or are we going to go for half year doing Hilchos Chelik Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Tefillah, etc., and then in a few months, closer to Yom Tovim again, go back to the Chesukim. I think it probably would make sense. What's your opinion?
Very good idea.
What, the second?
Yeah.
Brilliant idea?
Yeah.
It would be much, yeah. I must tell you, we did it twice over the last year or two. We did it twice. One was Chanukah and one was Purim, I think.
But they're much short.
And both times I felt it was nice. It was very nice, yeah.
They're much shorter.
Much shorter, yeah. Much shorter, but even more so in a way. Yeah. Okay, we have a week to decide. I'm just throwing it in. It's for your consideration, for your thinking. Maybe we should do a vote. I don't know.
I just want to clarify that on a practical level, because you've got Ben Azmanim in there as well around that time.
Yeah.
So you mean we'd start it?
We would probably do a good show.
Because it's about 20 weeks, isn't it?
Yes, we would start. Pesach time would start. I don't know. We'll figure something out. We'll.
So we get it done in time for...
But it's a bit... It would make... Perhaps, yeah, something like that. Or we time it for some holidays, or we time it for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Yeah, to get it all done by some holidays.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. We'll work backwards. Yeah, we can do that, yeah. Yeah. All right, okay, Rabbi Yisrael, but for now, we're going to do Hilchos Yom Kippur. Maybe we're going to ask a secret ballot. We're going to ask Jonathan, maybe, to take a secret ballot. Okay, very good. Okay. Yes, it is a shame. I totally agree with you. Yeah, that would be the cost. So, but I did notice. I saw the advertisement. I have not been notified anything formally. I don't know, but it's going to
be a right dinner.
But there will be. All I saw was that there was parties going on in New York, parties going on in Canada, and there was parties going on in Eretz Yisrael, and parties taking on in Kovna and in Radin. But that was the representation of Europe was Radin and Kovna. So we are not really on the map. I don't know.
What's happened to the English there, Shimon?
I don't know. They have this. It's another conversation. It looks like it's. So maybe I was thinking of sending him an email actually to ask why Radin is. I mean, nothing against Radin, but
like
London is.
Right, what we want,
yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, Simon Tov, Reish, Chav, Beis. Page 164. Lemin Choy, Ma'ashav, Oletzim, Wemin Lovim Kippur, Rabbi Yisrael, Wemin Yom Kippur. We still feel the taste and the flavor of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yisrael. And here we are. So, Lemin Choyim Asher V'Letzin V'Emincha, what do we say? Page 164, yeah? We say, Asher and then V'Letzin. Is that what we do? Asher V'Letzin V'Emincha? It's not. It's not what we do. Yeah. Hold on. That's not true. We do not say Ashuv Letzion. Only before Ne'ilah we say Ashuv Letzion. This is pushed off. We do not say Ashuv Letzion by Mincha. That's what some of the Yeshayim say. Vanit Filosi. We don't say that. So the Mishnah explains. Let me just finish the Ramah here. When only and we also say that if we don't say Enkelokeinu on Yom Kippur, what's the reason for all this? Mishnah says, why don't we say? What's the tzad that we don't say? Tzadziv Kotn Gimel Mishnah Bura. Because remember, this is Yom Kippur, and we are rushing. We want to get Mincha done. We have pressure because of Ne'ilah, so that leads to a pressure for Mincha. And he says, we're worried about Zman Mincha missing, but die behaves to Kesa Torah. And it's, you know, all we want to get to Kesa Torah. That's what he says, yeah. Yeah, and then, but when it comes to Ne'ilah, we have an extra few minutes, we can do it by Ne'ilah. It sounds interesting. I know it's interesting. And he says, but we've got to do it before Ne'ilah because to make an interruption, hefsik between Mincha and Ne'ilah. Now, what about this Enkelokeinu? Why don't we say Enkelokeinu? Have you noticed we don't say Enkelokeinu? On Shabbos we say Enkelokeinu. In Eretz Yisrael, by the way, we say Enkelokeinu every day.
There's no Shir Shir Yom or a Leilat Shabbat at all. Russia and some have a minhag to switch it to earlier, but in Yom Kippur, everyone has a minhag to
what?
To switch it, to do with Brachos HaShachar.
Yeah.
There's no Indian of doing it after Musa. Yeah,
could be very any Musa. So Mishnah Berurah says as follows: why do we say Enkelokeinu? So say the fish of Shabbos in Oymerkin. Why do we say on Shabbos Enkelokeinu?
Why do we?
Yeah.
Really, we should say it every day, but it's because we're in a rush.
Why do we say it on Shabbos?
Well, surely the Kashas are going to
be. Okay, so there's a reason why that filler was composed. No, so he's no. There's another reason why we say Enkelokeinu. Says the Mishnah Berurah, fish of Shabbos Oymerkin kidei lemalo isachosem mea brachos bechol yoim. The Enkelokeinu, to some extent, are brachas. It's not really, really a brach, but it's close enough. So Enkelokeinu, Baruch Elokeinu, Baruch Adonai, Baruch. So there's an element of a brach in it. We're missing the brachas. We're missing 100 brachas in Rosh Shabbos. So we want to add this by saying Baruch. The Enkelokeinu is there to add to the 100 brachas that otherwise it would fail to have. And with Yom Kippur, Iker HaBeshvachim, Ven Tzichon Emalos, on Yom Kippur, we have so many praises and brachas that we say, so many brachas, also many piyutim, etc. We say so many brachas, so therefore we're not lacking in the 100 brachas on Yom Kippur, therefore we can skip it. So says the Mishnah Berurah. Seif Beis, Rabbi Yisai, Motzin Sefer Torah V'Koyin Shlosha B'Parshat Arayos. We then learn Mincha D'Arayos, Al Sefer Parshat until the end of the Parsha. Hashlishim after B'Yoina, then afterwards we say Yoina. Umesai Mikel Kamoicha, Yoina doesn't really finish with the words, the Pesukim Mikel Kamoicha. That's added, but we add Mikel Kamoicha because the ending of Yoina is not so, it's a bit harsh ending. So, a bit of an abrupt ending and a harsh ending. So we add Mikel Kamoicha, which is talking about Tshuva. Umevorech lefonev achen, obviously, by the Haftorah, we say brachas before and after. Vimchal b'Shabbos, maske b'shal Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we add the Shabbos additions. For Choyz and b'shal Shabbos, and we finish off the brach with the Shabbos ending of the brach by the Haftorah. Ve'ein oimrim ala Torah, ve'la voida b'mincha, but do not say ala Torah, ve'la voida b'mincha. Now, the Mishnah over here, I think we mentioned it previously. Why do we say that? Oops, something gone wrong. No worries. So, why do we do the Arayos? Why do we do the Arayos? But Minchas Mishnah says, Because people are, it's one of those taivas. I saw that one of the kadmonim says it's two machshavas that a person never. It's one of the two machshavas that a person never is really far away from. Oh, good, good, good. One is aroyas, and one is money. The two taivas, people is never really far from those taivas. So therefore, aroyas, yes, aroyas is lain by mincha. Avimechot shenit many person did an avira, then yachse b'tshuva, then it would be an opportunity for him to do tshuva. Now, why do we do yoyna? Interesting. Why do we do yoyna on Yom Kippur? Tshuva. First answer, correct. Because he talks about teshuva. Although, there's much to be said about that, because that's the tshuva of Ninveh, tshuva of Goyim, and it's very different. But yeah, it certainly teaches us the concept of teshuva. V'oid, pardon? Even if their tshuva is accepted, surely ours. I hear the chizik, yeah? And another reason which the Mishnah Berurah explores in greater detail in Shaltzin is because at the end of the day, we cannot escape from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can I escape? Yonah tried unsuccessfully to escape. It doesn't work. So also ask me. Eventually, the bottom line is you're accountable for everything that you're going to do. Everything that you do, you're accountable for. Yonah also tried to get away with it. Ain't going to work. So that's that. I feel there's much more about Sefer Yonah also, which is really, really important. Well, these are the main reasons. I feel that whenever I feel that Yonah, when Yonah was approached and he was challenged, he said, "Who are you? What is Yonah say? What are you causing all this? What does Yonah say?" That's right, Ivri Anoichi. I'm a Jew, and I think that identity, that strong identity, and he realizes it's all of, you know, it's my fault, and I'm a Jew, and it's all about it's that strong identity, a solid identity as it. That's something that Yom Kippur also builds us on, you know. Ivri or noichi, I'm a Yid. And whatever it may mean, all the consequences, I'm a Yid. Might also be part of the Yom Kippur experience. Now, Siv Gimel teaches us as follows. Ah, no, before that, the Mishnah Berurah says over here, interesting, I don't know why it brings it over here. He says, Ba'avinu Malkeinu yesh lo'im aroya gzar b'neshim ha'achas. He says, over here the Mishnah Berurah tells us, it's a bit out of context in a way, but it says, you've got to say Avinu Malkeinu. When you say Avinu Malkeinu, you say Avinu Malkeinu Kra Roya Gzar. You've got to do it b'neshim achas in one go. You can't say Avinu Malkeinu Kra Roya Gzar Dinen. No. That's wrong. You've got to say it Kra Roya Gzar in one neshima, in one breath. He says because HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains Shehikra Yisbarach Roya Sheyesh Begzeira. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take away the bad in any decree, in every decision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take out the Roya, the bad of the Gzeira. So he says,
what
he says, the Chazonim have got to know. They can't say Kra Roya and then a whole Nigan da 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 da. Gza dinenu. It's got to be Gra Roya Gza in one go. Mishbu feels it's important to tell the Chazonim about that. Chazonim, yeah. So he says, yeah, that's in terms of Siv Beis. Siv Gimel gives us the following addition. Im Chol B'Shabbos Em Tzidkoscho. If Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we say Tzidkoscho. V'Om Ravinu Malkeinu, we say also Avinu Malkeinu. The Rama says, in our countries, we don't say Tzidkoscho, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. Why do we not say Avinu Malkeinu if it falls on Shabbos?
Bakosha.
I think it was last year, no?
Bakosha.
Bakosha, says Mishnah Berurah, indeed. Sivkot Nyud Gimel, Avinu Malkeinu, Shushir Asrochem. It's a private, request. And we don't say Avinu Malkeinu private requests on Shabbos. Finally, Siv Dalet. Ain nois in kapayim b'mincha b'yom kippur. There's no nisias kapayim b'mincha yom kippur. V'koin sh'ov avar l'duchenim. V'koin did go up when he started duchening. No duchening by mincha. But if a koin does go up, harizei nois in kapayim. V'ain moed nois, he should carry on. Some people do. I know in Eretz Yisrael that some people have them. There are some who do it, but generally, we don't. Now, I mean. Yeah, so the correct. The reason generally is because of chashash shikus, that normally we feel that, you know, after meals, on Yom Tov, really after meals, people have drank, people have. So there is a chashash shikus, but that wouldn't apply on Yom Kippur.
But there's never any. No one ever doesn't say it's the final meal.
Yeah, so.
Other fasting?
No.
No, I'm saying
there's.
I don't know if I've been to where there's
Nesis Kapai. No, so on the Tanesim, I'm trying to remember. I think the Tanesim. Yeah, there is. Tanesim, there is. There is. Yeah, and that's all. Yeah.
Yeah. So only on the other side, yeah, on the Tanesim, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, to summarize, we learned this evening.
Why
I don't know.
Then
it wouldn't apply on Yom Kippur. I don't know. Yeah, but I don't have three answers that I think the man, you know. I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the difference is. Okay, Rabbi said to some as we learned this evening. Asher v'letzien, we say by Mencha Kunot Rimo, we don't say Asher v'letzien. We only say it by Ne'ila. Enkel Kinu Yom Kippur is not recited. It's not necessary. The Mishnah Berurah says we take Sefer Torah b'Mincha. We lay the Arayos. Then we move to Yoina. The Mishnah Berurah says two reasons why we say Yoina. One is because of Tshuva. One is because you can't escape. We add the words Mikel Kamoicha at the end of the Sefer Yoina. We say the brachas and we add the Shabbos additions if it's Shabbos. Tzidkoscha and Avim al Kinnakus Shulchanoch is recited. Akonot Rimo is not recited. Reason why on Shabbos we don't say Avim al Kinnu is because it's Shedas Sochim. Finally, Duchening Ramos Shulchanoch says we don't Duchen Bamincha Yom Kippur. However, if the Kohen did really feel like he wants to go up and he went up, then you don't take him down. Okay, that's it for this evening. More tomorrow, Beis Hashem.